few days ago, an event took place that is rooted in the solar system that many of us rejoiced in, some of us just acknowledged, and some of us had no idea about. This event that took place a few days ago is the changing of the darkening of the day, getting darker and darker each day until it hits that December 21st point, and then it's the darkest day of the year, and at that point, it shifts and goes the other direction. We call it the winter solstice, and it's the time when you know, the angle of the earth has that effect, that it's reached its point where the darkness has reached a climax, and the light now begins to reverse the other way. And there's a rejoicing that people do, and depending on how, to what degree it affects you. But there is something that's called seasonal affective disorder. Some of you might have heard of that. Some of you might even struggle with that to one degree or another. Perhaps even all of us struggle at some level with seasonal affective disorder. And that is that the darker it gets, the more depressed one comes, or the lack of light. And so people will go out and they'll buy lights that, you know, will bring that kind of sunlight to them and compensate for what they're losing in their everyday life. And as I thought about that, and how that had not been a thing that had been diagnosed for years, it still feels like something that's more recent, that we talk about this, that there is this thing called SAD, seasonal affective disorder, and that light will help adjust that in us. And but how many years did we go with feeling that sadness and that depression? And for some people, it's debilitating, and not even know what was causing it. And the thing that I thought about this was, God, I think it would be fair to say there is something called spiritual affective disorder. That there's something in the soul that feels a sense of absence or longing from the darkness that we live in as human creatures. And we long for and need the light to compensate for that, to adjust that, to turn us the other direction and to go a different way. There is a sickness that we didn't know about that affects us called seasonal affective disorder. But there's also a sickness that affects us called the sin-sick soul. That our souls are sick until they receive the proper amount of light to compensate for the darkness that they're in. Now, biblically, we read about this very same thing in Isaiah chapter 9, beginning with verse 2, Isaiah 9:2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And so Isaiah is saying that the people are walking in darkness. There's a shadow of death over the human creation. And he says, but in that place where the people who are walking in darkness, they've seen a great light, and on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Something's come. It's like that winter solstice. It's like, hey, it's December 21st. Things are going to change. Things are going to reverse. We're going to start heading in the other direction. Each day now is more light than the day before. And so we get to live that out and feel the change that's going to happen in us and those who have seasonal affective disorder. They'll feel that change and they'll feel better. And years ago, they didn't know why. And the same thing's happening to us spiritually. And Isaiah goes on to say, after he says, a people walking in darkness have seen a great light, on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned, for unto us a child is born. to us a son has been given. That's the light. That's the thing that's going to happen. That's the shift that's going to take place. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this, for God so loved the world that a child was born to us, and a light shined. And then in Isaiah 61, later, the same prophet writes this, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion." Now listen to this. Here's the change. Here's the shift that Isaiah is prophesying. Something's going to happen, and it's going to be different. "To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. The days are going to get lighter instead of darker. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." Now John, when he writes his gospel, takes up the same theme. He's taking up what Isaiah is talking about, and he picks it up, and he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made, and in him was life." Now listen, "and that life was the light of men. The light is shining in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it." And then he goes on to say in verse 9 of the first chapter, "The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world." And then later, after we read those beautiful words, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life, it says in verse 18 of John 3, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict." Now listen to this. "Light has come into the world, but men have loved darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly. That he has done through God." So Christmas is a celebration of a shifting that will save our sin-sick soul. And what that is God's light coming into the darkness, God's light shining, the dawning of a new era. Just like winter solstice is like, okay, it's changed. It was getting darker and darker and darker. Now the light has come, and now it's coming the other direction. And God is saying to us, when the coming of the Son, the birth of the Messiah, the birth of the Savior, the King has come onto the earth, things will be different. Things will change. There's a light shining where there didn't used to be a light. And we celebrate Christmas like we came in here tonight, right? All the lights. Isn't it beautiful? I mean, the candlelight, the light on the Christmas tree. This is amazing, and all of this. And people all over the world are putting lights up because, you know, it's something in us, right? We put up lights this year on our house, and it was like there was something, you know, oh, yeah, let's put up some Christmas lights. But when we put them on and we turned it on, it was like, wow, this is cool. There's something, you know, that just kind of, in just, I don't know, you would just enjoy, you know, the light. You know, that's just kind of a Christmas thing, right? The festival of lights. You know, it doesn't mean that people are doing it because they believe in Christ, but there's something in the soul. Just like a seasonal affective disorder person who turns on a light to feel better, there's something about the light that is talking to our souls in a level that's so deep. There's something created in us to long for the light. Now, our soul knows that that's the light of God, but physically, we're still responding to the same thing. We're saying, oh, you know, this is beautiful. This is great. What is it doing for me? This is doing something wonderful for me. And it's like, yes, yes, because it's touching something in your soul. And your soul's saying, yeah, this is it. This is what I want. This is what I long for. Even our songs, you know, we're going to be doing Silent Night tonight. You know, that's our last song. We'll be doing Silent Night. And usually you think of Silent Night as Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, like don't wake the baby, right? Like, shh, don't wake the baby because, you won't want Jesus to be upset. And it's like, yeah, but there's so much in that song that's even about light. It's like, okay, all is calm, all is bright. And then it says in the third verse, it says, the second verse. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight. Glory is shining from heaven afar. The heavenly hosts are singing hallelujah. Christ the Savior is born. Verse 3, silent night, holy night, Son of God loves pure light. That means the pure light of love. So even in this song, you know, we're singing, oh, thank you for those words. We're singing about God, Son of God, the pure light of love. There's a light shining from this child. There's a light shining from this child. It's like, and it's this light of love, and it's pure. It's pure. Can you imagine? Can you imagine gazing upon the newborn face of Jesus? Just the pure light of love. See, what would be happening to us at that point? We would be, there would be like somebody who's getting sunlight in the middle of winter, saying, oh, man, that's great. It's like the soul is saying that. Like looking at that baby's face, the pure light of love, our souls would be going like, oh, this is what I long for. This is going to cure the sin-sick soul, which all human beings have. And the sickness in our soul is unto death. But here's the cure. Son of God, the pure light of love, radiant beams from thy holy face. With the dawn of redeeming grace, the dawn, the sunlight, the sunrise, the dawn, it's a new day, a new day. It's a new day of redeeming grace. It's a new day of grace being released into the world to buy us back, to cure the sin-sick soul. Man, that's what's happening. That's what's happening. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light, bestow your light upon us. It's, you know, with the angel singing hallelujah to our King Christ, the Savior is born. And I love the consistency with which all these things happen unto the point when Jesus is standing up and he's saying to all the people, I'm the light. It's me. I am it. You need light. We all need light. Light is necessary for life. And I'm it. It says in John 1, right? This light was the life that everybody needs. It's like, oh, Lord, let my soul bask in the light that you bring. Let my soul bask in the light. I'm the light. I'm the life. I'm the cure for the sin-sick soul. You listen to his conversation with Martha. Martha always gets kind of a bad rap, because she was the one that was really busy trying to clean the dishes while Jesus was sitting in the living room talking. But Jesus carries on conversations with Martha that are very deep and very meaningful. And when he comes, after Lazarus has died, he comes to her and he says, Martha, your brother will rise again. And Martha says, yeah, I know. He's going to rise in the resurrection at the last day. And then Jesus says, no, Martha, I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. And he who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? What a question. What a question. I am the resurrection. I'm the life. I'm the light that came into the world. I am the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecies. I am the light of the world. I am the cure for the sin-sick soul. Martha, do you believe this? Do you know what, you guys? That is the single most important question in all the universe, in all of history, in all of time, and in every human heart. Because the answer to that question determines everything. Think of all the questions that have been asked over the years by philosophers, by theologians, by the common person, scientists. But there's only one question that makes an eternal difference. I am the light, I am the life, I am the resurrection. Do you believe this? And the answer is yes, or all other answers. So the answer is yes, meaning that everything other than yes is a no. Meaning that if I say, well, I'm not sure, that's not a yes. I'm thinking about it, that's not a yes. Well, you know, he was a really good teacher, and I do try to follow his, that's not a yes. There's only a yes, and then everything else. And so Jesus comes down to this point here with Martha, and he's saying, Martha, do you believe this? Because he's saying, whoever believes in me is going to live, because their sin-sick soul will be cured, and even though you die physically, you will still live spiritually, and you will believe, you will live and you will believe in me. Whoever lives in me and believes in me will never die. You will live spiritually beyond the physical death, and you will be given a new body, which is just like the old body without all of its problems. Somebody say praise God. It comes down to that. So what we're celebrating tonight with all this light and the celebration of Christmas is really the celebration of the day that they discovered a cure for the sin-sick soul. The celebration of the day that they discovered how to defeat death, because a baby was born and he would be the light, he would be the life, he would die to release that life in us and to pay the penalty that would have been our death sentence, and to release us to continue on. Christmas celebrates the cure, and it celebrates your yes. If you have said yes to Jesus, this night is just as much a celebration of you, because you received the gift that God had intended, that God came into the world to give, and that God died for us to have. The light is on, the darkness flees, for unto us a child is born. Now Jesus said, I am the light, but he also said, and you are the light. So which is it? I am the light of the world, or you are the light of the world? The baby died, the baby who was born that we celebrate, the birth of our king tonight, that baby grew up to be a man, was sacrificed on the cross, died, is ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father. So now, where's the light? The light's up in heaven. Now what do we do? You see, he said something about that. He said, now you are the light. It's not just me that was the light, because my light is going to be given to you. As the baby grew up, became a man, died our death for us, and paid the penalty for our sins, and is seated in the heavenlies as a reigning king, but his light was transferred. In Luke 9, Jesus sends out his disciples and says, do the stuff that I do under my power, and they did it, and he rejoiced, and he said, I saw Satan fall from heaven. Why? Because the light went from him to them. There's a transfer of the light. It went from them, from him to them. Okay, it looks like we have a candle that is causing some concern, so we're going to ask somebody to put that candle out for us before and that'll bring back our attention here. The light's getting carried away. Maybe it's a sign. But here's the cool thing. They'll get it. It can't go anywhere, right? Okay. That's a metal beam surrounded by cement blocks. Huh? No, yeah, Herman, do you have a... Herman's bringing in the hose. There it is. All right. So hang in with me here, because this is really cool, you guys. So Jesus is ascended, and he's in the heavenly realms, and he sends down his Spirit, right, upon the people. And that Spirit, it's really cool. It's like, okay, so without Jesus, without that, I'm just a piece of wax with a string coming out the top of my head, right? You know, there's nothing to me. There's nothing there. I have nothing to offer to the world. But when I come to Jesus, and he bestows upon me, I say yes, and he bestows upon me. This isn't half of a light, and that's not half a light. I didn't take half of his light away, right? The flame gets completely and wholly duplicated. And that flame then gets to be passed on from one person to another to another. But the interesting thing about it is that I, as a candlelight, someday I'm going to end, right? My life, my light. I said yes to Jesus. Now I'm a light for Jesus in the world, and that helps to cure the sin-sick soul. But someday I'm going to end. So my light goes out, right? Unless I have touched others and that light has been transferred, then you can't stop it. Because it's not getting diluted. Do you understand? It's not getting diluted. The flame doesn't go to half, and then when I share it with someone, it goes to fourths, and then they share it and we go to eighths. The flame duplicates completely, and then duplicates completely, and then duplicates completely, and everything we go with this all the way. And so here's the beautiful thing, is that Jesus' light lit up Peter, the disciples, and Peter, his light, sets fire to 3,000 candles, right? And then those people shared it with other people, and it went all through Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all through the Mediterranean and came over to the New World, and it came to through the prairie to the Midwest and into Peoria, and that light got to you. But if you trace your light back, you see Nolan or Pete, if you guys went, so where, whose light lit your light, and who lit theirs, and who lit theirs, it goes all the way back to Jesus. The light you have is the light that Jesus is, and it's in you. And it's cured your sin-sick soul, and it has the power to cure others. Oh, my goodness. What we celebrate this night when we celebrate light is we celebrate the cure to death. We celebrate the one who came as the light of the world. We celebrate that light is in us, and we have been sent out. Go out into all the world, he said, because if you don't do it, it stops. Okay? If all of we do in this generation right now on the earth, of all the Christians all over the world, if all we do is hold on to our light, it all ends with us. We have to transfer it to others. We have to keep pushing, sharing it. We have to keep sharing that light. And when it touches another soul, then they light up. And in John, it says, the darkness cannot overcome it. Not in Christ, not in his church, not in you, and not in me. So we carry the cure that the whole world needs, dear ones. We carry the cure for the disease of the sin-sick soul from Jesus to Peter to the disciples to here tonight, and we celebrate the shifting. Just like the winter solstice, we celebrate the hope the deliverance, the cure, the night that the light came to humanity, the night that the light, the people who were walking in darkness, this is what Christmas is. The people who were walking in darkness have seen a great light. Merry Christmas on those living in the land of the shadow of death. A light has dawned. Hallelujah. Merry Christmas. A child is born. A child is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. This light, tonight we celebrate that this light caused a shift, and now we're receiving crowns of beauty instead of ashes, oil of gladness instead of mourning, garments of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Things shifted, things changed. Jesus came into the world, and it's different. We're on a different track now. That light was life, and that life was the life of men. And whoever believes this won't die. I'm the light. You are the light. And the darkness will not win. That's what we're doing here. That's what we're celebrating. That's what we're praising him for. That's what Christmas is about. Look what happened. Everything changed. Hallelujah. So gracious God, we thank you that you've brought us together here tonight just to stop, to remember, to acknowledge on this night a king was declared born to the earth. A light came on. A light came on. It was beaming from the baby's face. It was shining all over the shepherds. It was prophesied by Isaiah that darkness has a light. A baby's been born. There's the cure to the sin-sick soul. It's on the earth. He's there. He will deliver us. He will save us. He will be our King. He is our God. And he's chosen us to take his light into the world. Hallelujah. What a glorious night. What a glorious God. What a glorious thing has happened to us and in us and will continue to happen through us. Thank you, Jesus.